Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of Salvation. Chapter 6. Saved from, but to what? The Lord Jesus Christ said that the salvation that he came to offer, or that is contained in the Gospel, is specifically directed to those who have lost themselves from walking according to the will of God, or who have gone astray in ways dictated by sin and that result in the condemnation of their souls. And although many people do not recognize their condition as lost or sinners in need of the salvation offered by the kingdom of heaven, this condition applies to every human being. The Lord declared through his words that were recorded in the scriptures that all individuals are under the need of receiving eternal salvation, as described, for example, by the words of the text of John 3 that we repeat below, and also through his words spoken to his disciples when he instructed them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in it. John 3, 16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The imminent need that a soul has to be saved from its condition as a sinner and the path of condemnation, however, does not contemplate the entire scope of salvation contained in the gospel of the Lord. The salvation contained in the gospel, for example, is not like a rescue that a lifeguard performs when saving a person in danger at sea or in some other emergency. The salvation work that is expected of a lifeguard is to rescue people from the place or condition of some danger that they are in and bring them to a safe place, free from momentary threat, and where they can at least receive first aid with a view to being supported until they are stabilized to return to the continuity of their lives. The role of the lifeguard does not extend to the accompanying activities of the person rescued after one has recovered and does not extend to support the saved person with instructions on how one should begin to live in general after experiencing the rescue intervention. The salvation that God offers through his gospel is immeasurably broader than the rescue works on the natural level, for together with the redemption of people from a context of eternal and spiritual condemnation, it still offers a new condition of life for every saved individual, as well as it offers all the necessary provision so that the saved person can be strengthened and firmly established in this new condition granted to him or her. The salvation contained in the gospel is an offer of a living action of the Lord that carries out a process that, first, takes or disconnects a person from the path of condemnation and death, but which, at the same time, also puts the saved person in a position of entirely new condition of life that is grounded and supported eternally by the Lord. The salvation contained in the gospel always works in favor of the process or the joint action of saving an individual from eternal condemnation and putting him or her on the path of eternal life, including for the people who receive the salvation in the final moments of their natural lives. Colossians 1:13-14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. A proposition of salvation that announces the intention to save people's souls from the destruction, caused by their withdrawal from the fellowship with God or subjection to sin, and which does not contemplate the provision of a new condition of life together with the escape from the path of condemnation, does not refer to the salvation contained in the gospel of the Lord, and, therefore, does not refer to a reliable salvation. Because of the afflictions and fear experienced under the condition prior to the knowledge of God's salvation, and even because of the high gratitude in the heart, it is understandable that people saved by the Lord see heavenly salvation mainly with an emphasis on the deliverance they received in their lives, which is indeed amply worthy of being praised and celebrated. However, in the case of the salvation offered by God, the permanence only in the stage of deliverance simply does not contemplate the broader picture of what the salvation contained in the gospel offers for each human being. When the gospel of God is also seen from the perspective of the work of the righteousness of God, addressed more widely in the material on the gospel of the righteousness of God, it is also possible to see that the Lord not only justifies people from their sins, but he justifies them for the purpose that they may have peace and may live a life under the fellowship and instruction of the Lord in the most diverse areas of their new condition of life. If the salvation offered by God, through his gospel, were only an intervention of circumstantial or momentary deliverance or salvation, and without also offering the possibility for the rescued person to be able to live and walk in newness of life or the ways of eternal life, this proposition of salvation would be only temporal, without durability, or established on a very passing foundation. Considering that a person who came to need God's salvation came to need it precisely because the paths or practices dissociated from the fellowship with God to which one became subject, one also needs a salvation that not only frees him or her from the path of destruction in which one incurred, but which together grants him or her the possibility to start living and walking in such a way where one can choose not to fall back into subjection to the path of perdition from which one was released. God's purpose in offering and carrying out the salvation of people through his gospel is not just to work out circumstantial, temporal, or fragile deliverance, but to work out salvation for a new beginning of life, a lasting and eternal newness of life. Therefore, the salvation that God offers through his gospel is a deliverance that allows a dissociation from an old position or status so that the person freed from his or her previous state is placed in a new position and condition of life in which are available, in the Lord, new purposes, as well as instruction and support for the novelty of life for which one is saved. Considering that a person who needs to be saved from the way of condemnation and death has become subject to this path because of a life dissociated from the fellowship with the Lord, the salvation offered by the Lord would only be able to be regarded as a complete proposition if it also would allow that the person redeemed from the path of condemnation could return to have fellowship with the aspects that protect him or her from incurring in the way of destruction. Because they do not know, do not understand, or are not willing to accept that God's salvation is the means to a new position and condition of life, many people end up being helped many, many times by God in their daily lives without, however, leaving the situations and practices similar to those that led them to the need of God's intervention to be saved. Although shocking, many of those who are helped at all times by God in natural aspects insist on choosing the path that puts them on the trajectory contrary to the salvation of God specifically because they do not want to change the practices that they have repeatedly adopted in their lives, as also explained in the following texts. John 1:6-13. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. God does not offer the gospel of salvation for people to stay only on the aspect of deliverance itself and for them to deliberately put themselves repeatedly in situations in which they need the same salvation to be offered to them again and again. Adopting a posture of wanting God's salvation only for deliverance from destruction, without a sincere intention in the heart to abandon the way of living and walking that leads to the need for salvation, or without the purpose of also living the new life proposed by God, puts a person in a very delicate situation before eternal salvation and before the Lord who offers it, as the text below warns us. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will? Understanding that God's salvation is a mere deliverance and rescue from an imminent condition of destruction, without wanting the new life that salvation also offers and enables to be lived, is a misunderstanding of what the gospel of salvation is and is not aligned with the true desire for salvation, deliverance, and dissociation from the source that produces destruction. The salvation offered to us by the Lord through his gospel is the offer of an entirely satisfactory deliverance from the old condition of not being saved, but it is also, equally, a fully satisfactory deliverance to grant us newness of life in the Lord and enable us to live and walk in harmony with the saved condition. Only God, through his eternal power, can free a person from the clutches of sin, the flesh, the present world, death, the devil, and the powers of darkness. And each of the points of this deliverance and the price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ to make them possible are worthy of eternal contemplation and exaltation. However, it is also only in God and in the salvation that he offers that the full power is found so that a person can remain in the state of being saved and the condition of a life according to one's new position. In the subject on the gospel of Christ, mentioned in the introduction of this material, it was seen that the book of John or the so-called Gospel according to John, despite being very rich in the items about the work of salvation in the various aspects of deliverance that every person needs to receive, was not written only for the final purpose of pointing to the liberation that Christ came to provide to the lost. The book of John was also written with the central and primary objective of pointing to the vital condition that is associated with the aspect of people believing in the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and this, so that, as a result of believing in Christ, each person may obtain the newness of eternal life that is granted from the kingdom of God. John 20:30-31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Although the deliverance that God offers in favor of each person is indispensable and immeasurably significant and valuable, it can be noted that the emphasis of the central objective of the writings recorded in the book of John is not focused only on the deliverance itself, but on the result of what the gospel of salvation can produce in the life of the one who receives it, remains in it, and grows in it. The salvation offered by the gospel, as to the aspect of deliverance, is like a prelude so that, by this same salvation, an individual can start to experience what is described at the end of the book of John, namely, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through faith and trust in him, one may have eternal life in his name. Deliverance, obviously, is an invaluable and integral aspect of the salvation offered by God in Christ and through the gospel of salvation. This aspect, however, is only the beginning of an even much higher and greater purpose. In announcing the purpose of his coming into the world as the Savior of all who need to be freed from the path of condemnation and eternal death, the Lord Jesus Christ declared that he had come to save what was lost, but also to grant abundance of life to those that from him receive the salvation offered in his gospel, as follows. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. At this point, one could argue that what was exposed in this chapter is very obvious. But given what thousands and millions of people nowadays have thought about the salvation of God, and because of what so many of the so-called gospel announcers have been preaching over the last years, to know that God's salvation is the way of becoming free from a position of imminent destruction to be placed in a condition of a newness of life offered by God is something that is extremely necessary to be re-established. As we seek to point to the fact that God's salvation is not limited to providing deliverance, we are by no means trying to be disrespectful towards anything that this salvation has done and does for us to give us a condition of being free from the yoke of sin, the body of sin, darkness, or the path of destruction. What we are trying to evidence is that one of the ways that most demonstrates an individual's love for the salvation granted to him or her by the Lord is to understand and also accept that he or she was saved to experience indeed a new way of life and which is accompanied by new purposes to be achieved, an aspect that as well is an integral part of the same salvation or the goals set by God through his gospel. Receiving and experiencing the salvation provided by God through his gospel is like going through a door that divides two very different realities or conditions of life. It is to experience the situation in which a person is released and, at the same time, transported out of the place that leads him to damnation to a place governed by new conditions, full of life, and grounded on a hope firmly established for all eternity. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The aspect of salvation in the gospel demonstrates that the redemption, remission, or rescue from a life devoid of God's will to a life that is aligned with the Lord's will does not refer to mere intellectual and theoretical concepts, but to real and practical aspects that can indeed be experienced, through the righteousness of God, by those who receive this gospel. John the Baptist began his preaching by saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light that has come to illuminate all people. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he came to offer abundant life under the direction of his guidance or shepherding. And John, the apostle of Christ, tells us that the words described in his book about God's salvation have been written so that we know that Christ is the Son of God, and that knowing this, we can believe in him to enjoy the newness of life in his name. Thus, what we can see is that everyone who truly proclaimed God's salvation is unanimous in pointing to the fact that the salvation offered by the gospel is complete to accomplish all the deliverance that is necessary, but also to make provision for a new way of life. The salvation of the gospel is offered to bring deliverance from that which opposes the life that God wants to give to each human being, but it is granted so that each saved person may, in fact, receive and live this newness of life that is offered to him or her in the Lord. The salvation contained in the gospel saves from a life dissociated from the fellowship with God to a life in God and guided by the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Romans 5:8-9. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?